Good morning, everyone. I am really ready to have this conversation today. My guest today is Becca Romero, and she is the founder of Little Life Nutrition. She focuses on addressing infertility specifically through personalized, which you guys all know, I think we all should be doing, personalized dietary and lifestyle solutions for women who are hoping to get pregnant. So join me as we chat about diet, lifestyle, and fertility. I am so excited that you're here with us today. So I did a little intro before we got on so everybody knows a little bit of your background and what we're going to talk about. But I am really interested in this topic. So I'd love to hear from you. If you could tell everybody who you are, what you do, and how you started focusing on fertility health.
Absolutely. My name is Becca Romero. I own the online nutrition practice, Little Life Nutrition, and I help women who want to get pregnant or maybe struggling to get pregnant improve their lifestyle and their diet to help improve their fertility. And I also focus a lot on helping women understand their menstrual cycles for fertility. I think that's a really important area as well. And I have always been interested in pregnancy and fertility and anything related to that topic. And when I started practicing just generally helping my clients with nutrition as a nutritionist, I really found that I enjoyed working with those clients the most that wanted to get pregnant or were pregnant and wanted to improve their nutrition. And I loved that topic so much and found myself wanting to do more and more research about it. So I eventually decided to focus specifically on fertility and really become an expert in that area so I can really help women who want to get pregnant achieve their dream of becoming a mom. And it's just something that's extremely rewarding. And so that's how I got into it.
I love that so much. And I'm really excited to talk about the blood sugar control part of it. And I'm going to tell you why. So let me go back.
Sure.
When I was 40, I got pregnant with baby, what was going to be baby number 7, total surprise to me. And then I lost the baby. And then I had 2 more losses after that. I did not want another baby prior to getting pregnant that summer. A lot of my followers and my mamas know my story. I had a miscarriage. I was on a travel assignment very first night on my own, and I was in the OR and had a miscarriage, and it was devastating, to say the least. But here's where the interesting part. So I lost that baby and then had 2 more losses. And then at that point, I was seeing my midwife, and then she sent me to a specialist. And I went to the specialist, and they're like, you know, because at that point I'm 41, and they're like, or I was almost 41, I think. Something like that. And they were like, you really probably need to have medication because you're older. I'm really healthy. So they gave me like Clomid or something, but I was getting ready to take another travel assignment because I used to do travel nursing. So I was on my way back, funny enough, back to the hospital where I'd had the C-section or the miscarriage in the C-section. And I had that Clomid, and I was like, why am I doing this? I have 6 kids. I did not want another kid at all. And before I had the loss, I really did at that point. But I was like, oh, forget it. So I had done this diet back – so that was 2014. I had done this diet back in 2012 where I had just gotten really healthy. I have a lot of digestive issues, a lot. And so I did it with a nutritionist, and it's high protein, but low fat, very much about blood sugar control and getting your system working right with all of that insulin and all that, even though I'm not diabetic or anything. And so I was like, forget this. Why am I doing this? Because I had been pregnant and losses, I had gained some weight. So I started that diet again. And my ex-husband came to visit me in California and left behind Grayson. And now here he is 9. But I found out later that diet specifically, a lot of women who have infertility issues that do that diet end up having success at getting pregnant. And it all was around blood sugar and insulin control and all of that. So I really would love to chat with you about that, because I think a lot of times what happens with women who are having fertility issues is that they go straight to medications and all these different procedures and all of these things. Not that I knock that, because I think it's, thank God we have that. But I would love to hear what is your process if you have someone that comes to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, thank God we have these medications that can be super helpful. But I think sometimes we're a little quick to jump to taking those medications. And it can be difficult to think about changing the way you eat, the changing your lifestyle, because food can be comforting and food can be social and all those things. And we don't necessarily want to change the way we do things, but there can be really easy ways to still enjoy the foods that you love and still have a blood sugar balancing diet or support your blood sugar with your diet. It's not like this all or nothing thing. You are so right that having a blood sugar balancing diet can really help to improve your fertility. And it sounds like you have that story, that personal story. And so I think it starts with really just like this basic understanding of blood sugar and what does that mean really. A lot of times we think of people with diabetes need to watch their blood sugar, but I think everyone, especially women who want to have a baby, who want to get pregnant, need to think about their blood sugar. And it's something that we're not really taught a lot about. So I would say working with somebody, starting to help them understand the basics of what does it mean to support your blood sugar. And that kind of comes, it's about understanding different types of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, and the types of foods that affect your blood sugar. And so those three things that I just mentioned are known as our macronutrients. And we'll see those if you're to look at the back of a nutrition label or a label on the back of a product you buy at the grocery store, you'll see those like amounts in those products that you buy. And so when it comes to blood sugar, it all comes down to this understanding of what is in the foods that we're eating, and how do we structure our diet? How do we structure the way we eat to support blood sugar? And so it's important to understand carbohydrates to understand blood sugar. And I do want to preface this by saying that carbohydrates are not bad. There are certain carbohydrates that are better for you than others. But when it comes to blood sugar, we do need to understand carbohydrates. And carbohydrates tend to be those foods that are really like those craveable foods, right? We're talking about desserts and sweets and
crackers.
Yeah, crackers, cookies, all the yummy things.
Yeah.
And those are the things that we crave maybe more than chicken and broccoli or something along those lines. It all comes down to understanding how we can structure our diet to help to support that blood sugar and being mindful around carbohydrate consumption.
It's interesting that you said that, because the diet I did, and I don't want, like, it 100% works, and I did it with a nutritionist, it's very expensive, but it's called Ideal Protein. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but once you get to your goal weight, they monitor you every week to make sure you're not losing any muscle or that you're hydrated and all those things, but anyway, once you get to your goal weight, then you go to the next level and they teach you how to combine carbs and proteins and fats. And it's not like you can't eat anything, but it is the healthy things, the healthy fats, the healthy carbs. Now, I am notoriously, like, my issue notoriously is not eating. Which is just as bad as eating too much. And so that has been my battle my whole life. Like, my husband and I are polar opposites. When he gets stressed or he gets bored or whatever, he's a snacker. when I'm stressed, when I'm overworking or whatever, there have been times where I'm like, when is the last time I ate? So I think a part of why that diet was so good for me is I'm very type A, and if I have structure, I will eat. But if I have to think about it or put a lot of planning into it, I'm like, eh, forget it. So I love that you're talking about, it's not, a lot of people think, and myself included, I tend to go into the no carb camp. So I love that you're saying that, because there's some really amazing ways that you can eat when you're eating healthy. I learned that a lot in Ideal Protein, to really think outside of the box with vegetables and fruits. So that was good for me. I learned a lot, but I'm not going to sit here and try to say that I am good at eating healthy, because I am not at all.
Absolutely. It's a lifelong journey. And I love that you bring up like the difference between you and your husband. And I think a lot of people can relate to one of those two things, where when you're stressed, maybe you overindulge, or when you're stressed, you don't think about food. And both of those things can actually impact your blood sugar. So going long periods of time without eating can cause low blood sugar and fatigue and low, like other low blood sugar symptoms. And then sometimes that can lead to overeating later on if you've restricted for too long. And then let's say you're stressed and then you get to the end of the day and you're like, okay, now all I want to eat is like something sweet, or you overeat because your hunger signals are altered because of the way that you're, or like where your blood sugar is at that moment. And then on the other end of that spectrum, you can, if you're stressed, you can overeat too. And maybe it's, you're overeating some of those more craveable foods that we're talking about, like the cookies and the crackers and the desserts and the breads and things of that nature. So there's like those two ends of the spectrum, and it's all about finding that balance and learning these things so you can start to implement them in your life. And you don't, no one's perfect. We're not going to be able to do it 100% of the time, but having that knowledge is really powerful.
Yeah, I think that is too, like knowing that there's a healthy balance and figuring out what that is for you. And it's interesting, I need to actually do it the right way, but I ordered this thing called Levels. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yes.
I would love to hear your thoughts on that. And for Absolutely. Those of you guys linking or listening, I can put it in the show notes. I'm not an expert on it. I just ordered it, but I'd love for you to explain, because I'm a little hazy on it myself. But I did watch my blood sugar for about a week or 2 weeks. I think I wore it for 2 weeks. So the funny thing was, is that I have always thought I knew what it felt like when my sugar went down and when my blood sugar went down. So I was wearing the Levels, and when I started feeling that, I realized I was actually feeling it go up. Not high, but high for me. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
All these years, I have said, oh my God, my blood sugar is dropping. And it was the opposite. I was real, as a nurse, I was really shocked.
Absolutely. And that's what's so wonderful about having these tools, that we can get these tools and understand truly what's going on inside of our bodies. And that's what's so great about this technology that we have now. We can really collect that data and understand what's going on in your body. And you can use that tool to understand, like, yeah, while I'm not wearing, this is a good tool to have. I'm probably not going to be wearing a blood sugar monitor 24/7 for the rest of my life, which is what Levels is. For those listening, it's a blood sugar monitor that constantly monitors your blood sugar 24/7. You wear it for about 14 days and you can get the data directly to your phone and you can look at what your blood sugar is at any moment. And so that's really wonderful that you can connect like those maybe like symptoms or feelings that you have to what's going on with your blood sugar and the way that you're eating and how that, and exercising and all that, and how that impacts your body, your mood, your hunger levels, and your just overall health, because our blood sugar is really connected to our health in many ways.
Do you ever recommend any tools like that for your clients?
Absolutely. Yes, that is actually a tool I use fairly often with my clients. And I will say, especially with women who have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. Oh, you do? Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. And so it's especially useful for women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome, because though that population of women does tend to have a harder time with blood sugar control. Typically, they'll have higher levels of insulin and just have a harder time in general with carbohydrates affecting their blood sugar. And so it's a really great tool for a lot of people, but I would say very specifically with women with PCOS, it's a very wonderful tool to see like what types of meals work for them, what types of meals don't work for them, and how to keep that blood sugar under control. And that's especially important if the woman has a higher blood sugar level, and that's something that's affecting their ability to get pregnant. And understanding and seeing that data in real time, and understanding like when I eat this isn't great and it's affecting my blood sugar, and when I eat this way, it affects me in a positive way, and I'm able to over time get those blood sugar levels to go down, get those insulin levels to go down, which insulin is something that when insulin is high, that can affect your other hormones, your other fertility hormones. And so having insulin levels in check can really in turn help with your fertility. So I think it's a really powerful tool and definitely something that I use often, like I mentioned, especially with women with PCOS or women who have known blood sugar issues, to help them gather that data. And I think that's something that's really powerful, because when you see those numbers, like it can be easy to be like, oh yeah, like I'm not really like I'm going to eat this cookie and I'm not really sure how it's affecting me. But to have that, to see that on your phone in real time, yeah, to look at your blood sugar level and be like, wow, that might, you know, the way that I'm eating is really affecting my blood sugar levels and I can change that, is really powerful to have that information just on your phone.
When you're going through any type of infertility issues, speaking for myself, when I was trying to get pregnant with Grayson, you feel so out of control. So that is a really good point, that this is something you can control, because there's a lot of it you can't. There's a lot of things that are involved that you can't. So I love that you said that, like they can have a sense of control with that, because you can see, okay, I can make this choice or I can make this choice, whichever that is. So for those of you guys listening, you may hear Tula. Most of you guys know who Tula is. She's my little puppy that is attached to my hip, and I am about to get very upset with Tula. I blocked my door and everything. So just a side note, if you hear whining and scratching, it's not one of us, it is Tula. Anyway, so tell me, with your online business, what does your program entail?
Absolutely. It's very individualized. So I work one-on-one with women. So it is really tailored to what is going on specifically with them. And there are lots of different reasons why you might be struggling to get pregnant. But let's just say, let's use that example of PCOS and blood sugar irregularities. For somebody that may have PCOS or have blood sugar issues, what we would do is just do a deep dive into their diet and lifestyle and try to uncover what might be causing insulin levels to be high, or what might be causing stressors, or how we can implement a little bit more movement that fits into their lifestyle. And so I think a really common diagnosis that I'll see in the fertility space is unexplained infertility. And something that I do is help to explain that, because I believe that isn't really an accurate diagnosis, because there's always a reason why we're experiencing fertility struggles. We maybe haven't uncovered that yet. And maybe that happens to be blood sugar, and that wasn't something that was uncovered in the first place, and we can work on that. And I do see that often, that when we do a little bit of a deeper dive and we look at blood sugar levels, or we look at nutrient levels, or there's just something that hasn't been uncovered yet, we're able to solve that. And then that woman is able to become a mom, which is really amazing.
I'm really loving this conversation because what I find, especially before working bedside, I really didn't get to know my mama's entire story. But we offer virtual accesses and we have a membership and we meet with all of our students every Wednesday who are pregnant, every Thursday who are postpartum. And so that being said, I've gotten to know a lot more and I get to hear a lot more of what is said to them by their providers. And providers do not provide individualized care, first off. That's not the norm. It's okay, everyone in this bracket get this, everyone in that get that, and I'm not going to look at the person as a whole. And so I think the fact that you step back and you do it individualized and you find out, okay, what's going on with her? Let's dive deeper into her, not her diagnosis, but what is she doing? Because I think doctors love to give you a diagnosis and that's that. There's no, and like unexplained infertility. Hello, that just means I don't know what the hell's going on.
Exactly.
And it's, but instead of saying, okay, let's get you to a nutritionist, let's have you meet with this specialist or that, they're like, unexplained, check, you're done. That's that, live with it. I feel like there's so many women, especially with PCOS. Now, my midwife was like, I got pregnant with most of my kids very young and had them like, boom. So she was like, you're really lucky that you got pregnant really young and had the babies, because I probably would have struggled with a lot more similar situations as to what I struggled with Grayson. And it just all makes sense that the diet that I ended up doing was all based on blood sugar control. And then lo and behold, there I was at 42 having Grayson. So,
right.
Yeah. So I think there's just so much power in that. And there's a lot of women I found out afterwards. I didn't realize there was a connection when I got pregnant with him, but I found that out afterwards, after I had him and after I was done breastfeeding. I ended up doing the diet again, but I did it like a generic version of it with a group online. And that's how I found out about a lot of women who did this diet ended up getting pregnant, which for them, like for most of us, wasn't the goal. For a lot of them, it was. But I feel like that's just, for those of you guys listening, like, why not? I don't know if you know, but I have a coaching business as well where I coach online business owners. And I have another business owner in my group who, she focuses on your chakra and like getting balanced and all of that. And that was her path to fertility when she was having infertility. So I just feel like there's so many different ways you can explore and learn. And there are things within your control, because I know 100% when you're going through that, you feel so out of control and you feel like your body is betraying you and you feel a lot of emotions. And for someone like me who got pregnant so easily and had babies, then to get pregnant and lose babies and then not to be able to get pregnant and stay pregnant, it was a really life-changing experience for me because I just took that for granted. I know that I went through that for a reason as well, because I realized really quickly how it changed the way that I was a labor nurse. Because when we look at your records, we see how many pregnancies you've had, how many living children you have. And we have tons of women come in who've had tons and tons of pregnancies and no living children. And prior to experiencing that, I would say I wouldn't say I was callous, but I definitely didn't understand. So these women that you're working with are tender and raw and
absolutely. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I've had women say, I've never had somebody ask me these questions before. And you need that time to be able to understand what's going on and like how many losses they've had and all of that. And their deep dive into their history. And I think there's just there are lots of wonderful doctors out there that maybe just don't have the time to spend with the women and understand what's really going to be helpful for them. And like you said, this can be a really stressful experience and you can feel really out of control. And so to have a provider that's going to really be there for you and listen to you and help you through those like stresses that come along with the experience, it can be really powerful to feel heard when it comes to your fertility journey.
Yeah, because it's a tough journey. I remember I actually had to do a ton of research myself and I brought it to my OB and my midwife. And I was like, can you do this and can you do that? And I remember the day that they did all these outside the box labs for me. And I ended up finding out I also had I call it the MFR, the MTHFR.
Yes.
I also had that. I had a clotting factor five lead in. It was like, how did I get pregnant and have so many babies? Like I've got PCOS, I've got all these things. But the only reason I found that is because I asked my doctor to do all these labs and I used to have a picture. I have no idea what happened to it, but they took 40 tubes at once. Yeah, it was. And I know those of you listening who have experienced infertility, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was so much blood. It's just a really tough experience. And if you are not someone who knows how to advocate for yourself, it can be even harder, which I don't really have that problem. I'm pretty good at speaking up and most of the time. It depends on the other person's personality because there are some personalities I have a hard time with. But that's part of my birth program. I teach that's part of the framework of my birth classes because you can have all the knowledge in the world and you can have a fantastic mindset. Believe in your body, believe that you're on the right path and talking about these fertility issues as well, but also during pregnancy. But if you do not have the boldness to speak up and say, wait a minute, or give me more information, or no, then it's a framework that has to work together in your healthcare journey, whether before you get pregnant, during pregnancy, and through motherhood, because there are times where your child needs you to be bold and speak up. And I just taught this last night in my Fearless Birth experience. So I get so fired up about this topic because in general, we've been taught that doctors are all knowing, these gods who know everything. And if they're saying it, it must be so. But the truth of the matter, especially when it comes to women's health and pregnancy and birth, is that they're taught to deal with the sick side. They're taught to deal with the medical side. And we are whole beings, and it's not just one little cookie cutter thing. And I love that you're helping them take some control. And I hope that these doctors that have seen these women not being able to get pregnant perk up and think, what is going on? Like, what is happening? And ask some questions and add some holistic crap to their treatment plans because it's all truthfully, the way we eat is so unhealthy. The things we add into our body are so processed and so unhealthy that of course that lends to the infertility issues. Like, of course it does. So
absolutely. Yes. And I think that's such an important conversation. And I would to advocate for yourself, right? And I know you talk a lot about that. And don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. And I would challenge anybody who's been given that diagnosis of unexplained infertility to not accept that and do some research, do some digging, and try to find out what's going on. And a lot of times doctors don't necessarily look into nutrition-related things or lifestyle-related things, and those can be major factors. And your fertility doctors or your OBGYNs might not be extremely educated on these topics. And they're very good, like you said, at doing sick care. They're very good at doing surgeries and birthing babies and all those wonderful things. But they might be overlooking the nutrition piece, the lifestyle piece. And that can be hard to, like we were talking about earlier, it can be hard to make those changes, but it can be worth it.
Yeah, I agree. I wish that, okay, so on the flip side, if she has GDM or when she's pregnant or hypertension or whatever, they will look at the lifestyle. But it really is only what affects them and what they need to treat or deal with. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast we could talk about. Absolutely. But I love that you're doing this. And can you like share with my listeners where they could find you? And I'll link to some of the information and just a little bit about what you offer for them. I know you said one-on-one, but how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I offer one-on-one counseling. So I offer packages where we work together one-on-one for a minimum of 4 months, because that is the amount of time that it takes to help make a positive impact on your egg quality and see those changes through with your nutrition and lifestyle. That can, when you make those changes, it takes that amount of time to make that positive impact, to really start to see those, to see a positive pregnancy test. And so I work one-on-one with women. And so what I offer is a free 30-minute consultation call to see if we're a good fit to work together. And if that works, then we move forward with working together for that minimum of 4 months. And we do a deep dive on your diet, lifestyle, your medical history, all that. And we'll uncover things that are making it challenging for you to get pregnant. And so that's what I offer as far as packages go. And my website is littlelifenutrition.com. And I have a free fertility nutrition guide on my website that you can download there. And my Instagram is just at littlelifenutrition.
I love that. And I love that name. I was looking at it before and I'm like, it's such a cute little name. And it represents what they're hoping for, which I love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming today. I usually tell my guests before we get on, I usually try to keep these less than 45 minutes because I know y'all and you cannot listen longer. You drop off. So we love that you are doing what you're doing. It's so important. It's so impactful. And that's really what matters because it is life-changing for these mamas. I hope you're keeping like a little like booklet or something of your mamas who have had success. That's really awesome.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely do something along those lines. But thank you so much for having me. And this was a really great conversation.
And when you start having your babies, you'll have to come back and hang out with me.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Thank you guys for listening. Have a wonderful day, Becca. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Birth Experience with Labor Nurse Mama, where we broke down how related your dietary and lifestyle choices are with fertility. What an interesting conversation. Thank you for hanging out with me. As always, I'll see you again next Friday. But before you head off, hit subscribe and leave us a review. We'll see you again next Friday. Bye for now.